Scripture reading comes from 1 Peter 1, verses 17 through 23. Since you call on a father who judges each person's work impartially, live out your time as foreigners here in reverent fear. For you know that it was not with perishable things, such as silver or gold, that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down with you from your ancestors, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. He was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for your sake. Through him you believe in God, who raised him from the dead and glorified him, so that your faith and hope are in God. Now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth, so that you have sincere love for each other, love one another deeply from the heart. For you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and the enduring word of God.
Please pray with me. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts together be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. It happens every once in a while, and almost always when it happens, it's unplanned. You're walking downtown. You pass by the Macy's department store, and you look in those large luminous windows, and you see the reflection of a stranger walking by, and you think to yourself, who is that? And then you look a little closer, and you realize, oh, that's me. Well, you're on Facebook. You log on to Facebook because it's been a while since you checked up on how your friends' lives were going. You haven't checked since last night. A lot can happen in 12 hours. So you log on to Facebook and you see that, in fact, one of your friends has posted a series of pictures about a recent get-together. And you look through and you're smiling and you're laughing, you're enjoying the people, you're looking at the poses, you're thinking, boy, there's a pretty good-looking group of people we have there as friends together. And then you look, there's a picture of your friend, and about a third person to the right is somebody you don't recognize who they are. So you move your cursor over and you see there's your name. And you say, me? Well, the light must have been really terrible when they took that picture. It happens once in a while. It happens to me when I'm shaving. Don't laugh. It happens to me, and it doesn't happen all the time when I'm shaving, about 3-4 times a year. I go through the morning ritual. I put the Edge shaving gel on, and I start to get rid of the stubble of the night, and when the last bit of that shaving foam is going down the sink, I throw some water on my face and I dry myself off with a towel, and then I'll look in the mirror for about 20 to 30 seconds. And sometimes I say out loud when I'm thinking in my head, who let you in here, old man? I'm serious. Who let you in here, old man? See, the thing about our minds is, and this is true of every single person I've ever talked to, the thing about our minds is we have a picture in our minds of who we are and what we look like. And then our eyes play a cruel trick on us because we get a glimpse of what we really look like and who we really are, and that is not pretty. For most of us, it's not. In my mind, I see myself as being a 25-year-old young male. I don't have any wrinkles or pockmarks on my face. There's a vibrancy and an energy that just radiates from me. I'm part of that generation that is about to make their mark on the world, and then I shave. And it's all literally down the drain. I get a picture. This is what you look like. This is who you are. And then you think to yourself, is that true? Is that who I really am? Now, the interesting thing is the Bible does that to us, too. The Bible focuses us. It's like a mirror. You can be reading through the scripture and you'll read something and you'll stop and say, wait a minute, is that me? Do I look like that? For instance, reading through the book of Romans, and you'll come across Romans chapter 3, verse 23. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Now, 8 times out of 10, when you read that, you say to yourself, that's true, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But those other 2 times you read that and you stop and you say to yourself, all. That's me. That's you. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Do I really do that? Is that who I am? And you're caught up short. Because when you talk about sinners, generally, we're not talking autobiographically. We're talking about somebody or something out there. But here's the mirror, and it's right in front of your face. Or you read along in the Bible, and you don't get very far. If you start at the beginning, you're in Genesis chapter 3, and the first story about human beings is a story about who we are. And the story tells us that we are people who want to depose God. We're people who want that throne God's sitting on. I mean, the snake hisses into Eve's ear and says, if you eat this, you will be like God. Whew, talk about temptation. And in a few minutes, our spiritual ancestors eat that fruit, and generations after generations later, here we are and we have their genes. And so we are people, this is what the Bible says, we're people who want to depose God. And you're sitting there saying, I never once wanted to be God. Really. You've never said, if I were God, you've never said, why would God let those 300 kids on that boat in South Korea die? Why would the Lord allow that tsunami to happen? And the underlying presupposition in that statement is, if I were God, I would not let that happen. This is who we are. Scott McKnight is a professor at Northern Baptist Theological Seminary, and at the beginning of every semester, he administers a two-part personality test to incoming students. The first part of that test is the students are asked to reflect on who Jesus is. And to describe who Jesus is. And then the second part of the test is to describe who you are and reflect on who you are. And these tests have been reviewed by professionals who are just surprised at the outcome because it's amazingly consistent. Almost all the students think Jesus looks like them. Or to put it in a less benign way, they think they look like Jesus. This is who we are. See, we get that picture, and it's upsetting. It's unsettling sometimes. And it's not just the bad things that we read in the Scripture, and we say to ourselves, do I look like that? It's the good things, too. So if you listen closely to 1 Peter, this is Peter the Apostle talking here, that Peter says some things that when you read those, at least when I read those, I say to myself, do I look like that? For instance, one of the things he says, and Scott read it a moment ago, is you have put your faith and hope in God. Now, immediately when you read that, you might say to yourself, that sounds like me. I have. I have put my faith and hope in God. But then you start to reflect on it, and you say to yourself, but there was that night I was up at 3 a.m. drinking Pepto-Bismol like it was milk because I was still processing this thing that happened during the day or thinking about what tomorrow might hold. And there was that time when the boss called me in and said, there's a very good chance we might be downsizing your position in the near future. There is that chance that I remember that day when we prayed and and our friend died. You have put your faith and hope in God. Is that who I am? Is that what I really look like? You may have heard the story of the older lady who was always reciting a litany of ills, some real, but most of them imagined. And anybody who would listen, she would tell them what was wrong with her and the things she was up against. And her grandchildren got tired of hearing that. After a while, one of the grandkids said to her, Grandma, look. We've done everything we can for you. You're going to have to just put your trust in God. And the old lady put her hands to her head and said, oh no, has it come to that? It always comes to that. But we don't always look like that. Then Peter goes on to say, and this one you have to think about for a while, you have obeyed the truth and your soul is pure. Anyone who looks like that, could you raise your hand? You have obeyed the truth, and your soul is pure. There's one thing I can say about that. I'm glad you can't see my soul. But the other thing I want to say about that is you should be glad I can't see your soul. you have obeyed the truth and your soul is pure. When has that ever been true of us? In fact, little kids, I see the little kids up here for the children's story. I think of that story where the brother and sister, the preschoolers, they've been home all day. They've been plaguing mom. They're pinching, touching, poking, harassing, teasing. And finally, around dinner time, the little boy says something to the sister, and big sister just loses it. And she pushes him down, and she calls him a name, and she spits on him. And mom and dad are right there watching the whole thing, and they separate the two, and dad is just beside him. So he says, what's the matter with you? The devil made you do this. And the little girl said, well, Daddy, the devil may have made me push him down and call me a name, but I thought of spitting all by myself. And that's the way it is with us. We think of these things all by ourselves, and we don't have any trouble thinking about them because is our soul pure? Have we obeyed the truth? And then Peter goes on to say, you have been born again. You have been born again. Some of you remember Jimmy Carter. Every time I hear that, I think of Jimmy Carter. Because back in the 70s, when he was president or running for president, the culture made a big deal out of the fact that Jimmy Carter said he was born again. What does that mean? What is that? Well, Paul tells us what it means. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, you look at verses 16 and 17. Paul says, we don't look at anybody from a human point of view anymore. For if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. This is who we are. You are a new creature. You're a new creation in Christ as a disciple of Jesus Christ. Is that what you look like? It's what we want to look like, but some mornings we wake up, we feel like we're starring in Groundhog Day with Bill Murray. It's the same song on the radio. It's the same people we see every day. It's the same things that happen every day. And the worst part of it is we're the same person we were yesterday. But that's not what the Bible says. We no longer think of anybody from a human point of view. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature, a new creation. The old has passed away. I ask you after you hear this scripture and you think about who you are, how in God's name do we look like what Peter describes? And let me read it to you again. I want especially to read verses 18 and 19. Here's what Peter says. For you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your forefathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. What that tells us, what Peter is telling us, is it's not something we do, but it's something that's done to us, in us, through the precious blood of Christ. We actually are given a total makeover. It's like the Savior puts us in a chair and says, hang on there, give me an hour, I'll make you a whole new person. It's what Jesus does to us and through us. I know I've told a number of you this one-on-one, but I don't think I've ever said it in the sanctuary during a Sunday morning. But back in 2006, 8 years ago, when the church gave me a sabbatical, I spent 6 years down in Managua, Nicaragua, six weeks. Some people who travel say maybe it feels like 6 years, but I went there to be with our missionaries, and it was a wonderful time. And the missionaries were very organized, so they had a short, fairly handsome-looking Nicaraguan whose sole purpose for 6 weeks was to follow this tall gringo around and make sure he didn't get in any trouble. He would show up every morning at my dorm room, and so one morning I said to him, Frank, do you have a barber? And Frank says, yeah, not far from here. I said, can you take me to the barber? So we went out of the missionary compound. About a quarter mile down on the left-hand side, there's this house. And on the porch, there are a number of chairs. And that's the barber. He knocked on the door. She came out, told me to sit in the seat. And she said something to me in Spanish. I turned to Frank. Frank said to me, Señor Tim, she wants to know, how would you like your hair cut? And so I said to him, tell her to make me handsome. So the Frank turns to the barber, says something to her in Spanish. She says something back to him in Spanish. They laugh uproariously. And I said, what did she just say? And he said, Senior Tim, she said, I am a barber, not a magician. But here's the thing. Jesus is a magician, if you will. He literally does change us. And the image that's used here in 1 Peter is as a seed, and it's not perishable, but it's planted in the ground and it's going to bear fruit. It's an imperishable seed, not like silver or gold that will fade away. But it's here, it's in us, and it's growing. And some of you grew up in agricultural areas. Some of you might even belong to the FFA when you were in high school. You know what it's like to plant seeds. So you plant a seed, and the farmer plants a seed. He tills the ground, covers it up, he waters it, he puts some manure on it, he waits for it to grow. I have never yet seen a farmer plant the seed and then come out the screen door some morning and go over to the rows and stand over the seed and say, grow. Now come on, grow. But the farmer provides the conditions in which that seed might be able to grow. And likewise, we too can provide those conditions upon which the seed can grow. It is in us. As a week after Easter now, when there's this temptation, as Scott said, to think about the letdown, now it's back to all things normal and usual. But Easter and the resurrected Christ tell us that we are not usual anymore, that there is an imperishable seed within us, and it is growing, and we are becoming like those people in the Bible describe us as. We will walk someday in the kingdom and see what Christ has made us. Do you believe that? One of my favorite books I picked up in a bookstore on the way down to Nicaragua about 8 years ago, Bill Bryson. The title is what caught me, A Short History of Nearly Everything. And in less than 550 pages, he describes everything in the world. That's a pretty good summation. I want you to hear what he says on page 122. You may not feel outstandingly robust, but if you are an average-sized adult, you will contain within your modest frame no less than 7 to the 10th power joules of potential energy, enough to explode with the force of 30 very large hydrogen bombs, assuming you knew how to liberate that power and you really wished to make a point. I want to let that sink in for a minute. In fact, I want to ask you, and I know this is tough in the congregation, but I want to ask you to turn to a person sitting next to you, and put your hand on them. Put your hand on them. Can you feel that? 7 to the 10th power joules of energy. And if the conditions were right, that person could explode with the energy of 30 very large hydrogen bombs. Be careful what you say or do. Now, I'm not a scientist. I have seen my mother when she's at her worst, and it has felt like a terrific force, but nothing compared to what this book says. I assume since it's printed and somebody edited it that it's true. But how could you say, I have within me the power of 30 very large hydrogen bombs? No, it's not true. But the scientists say it is true. And the question we have when we come to the scriptures is, who are we going to believe, our brain or the Bible? Is there indeed something within us growing, changing us hour by hour, day by day? Even when we do nothing, as we sleep, the kingdom is growing within us. Peter says, you have put your faith and hope in the Lord. You have obeyed the word, and your soul is pure. You've been born again, and, Peter says, you sincerely love one another. It's what you look like. Don't forget that. Don't forget that. Let's pray. Lord God, human as we are, we have been given the presence of Christ. And the resurrected Christ this Sunday after Easter is more alive than when he came from the tomb last week. He's growing within us. May we feel that power and presence this week as we walk through the world, as we do our jobs, as we make dinner at home, as children go to school. Help us to realize that what you describe is who we are and who we're becoming. In the name of Jesus, amen.